verses 3 to 7. I have the ESV this morning, so it's going to be a little bit different than what you have if you're using a Pew Bible or have a different translation. But the ESV says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is..." Oh, I just read that. "Which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." I want you to notice just a few things about this passage, and then we want to connect them to Mom's ministry of comfort. Notice the word comfort appears 9 times in these 5 verses. The words trouble, distress, sufferings appear 7 times. And so, you know, it's really pretty clear that the subject in this passage is comfort in suffering. It's about God's ministry of comfort to those who belong to Him through faith in Christ, to those who are His children. In the English language, to comfort means to soothe. It means to console, to cheer someone who is grieving, to make physically comfortable, to aid or to encourage. From its Latin origin, comfort combines the prefix com, C-O-M, which means with or together, and the verb fortis, which means to fortify or to strengthen. The Greek word translated comfort is a compound word, parakalesis. Para means beside, kaleo means to call, and so parakalesis means a calling to one's side. And that's what God does for His people when they suffer, when they hurt. He comes alongside. He comes near. The Lord offers consolation with tender encouragement. The psalmist expressed this attribute of God in Psalm 46:1, where he wrote, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." When things are coming apart, He is our refuge. He's an ever-present help in trouble. You know, over the years, I've experienced His comfort in such practical and meaningful ways. There's an old hymn, and maybe you never heard it, but it goes like this. "Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer, just when I need Him most." Has that been your experience? Say amen if it has. Amen. Yeah. Notice that 2 Corinthians 1:3 directs us to praise the Lord for His ministry of comfort. This is a reason to praise the Lord. Paul wrote, "The Lord comforts us in all of our troubles." And he says, "He is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." That means that whatever compassion and comfort there is in the world, it originates with God. It comes from Him. It finds its source in God. He is the Father of it. In other words, there wouldn't be compassion, there wouldn't be comfort if it wasn't for the Lord. God is not dead. How do I know? Because of the way He comforts me when I need it. You know, we often point to the material creation, even as the boys and girls did, to support our belief in a powerful, intelligent Creator. But what about all the non-material evidence that exists in the world? I mean, where did morality come from? Where did beauty come from? You know, the Bible explains that God is love. Where did love come from? Well, the Bible says God is love, and we love because He first loved us. So this Holy One, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is also the Father of comfort. He's not some faraway deity who is unresponsive to our troubles. He comforts His children. Notice also the compassion and the comfort that we receive from God should never dead end at us. God's ways of faithfully and tenderly ministering comfort to us equips us to minister comfort to others. And so we might say it this way, the Lord fills our comfort tank so that it will overflow to those in need around us. Here again, the Bible is completely realistic about life. And again, as the boys and girls shared and the reasons for their questions about God and does he really exist and does he really love me, the Bible is completely realistic when it tells us, yes, there is heartache in this life. There is suffering in this life. Yes, there are times when God's people are troubled and greatly distressed. But no, there is never a time when God is not near to those who are in trouble. Even before we ask, the awareness of our trouble calls the Lord to our side. And what is the appropriate response to the Lord whose constant vigil and tender care? What should the response be? We should praise him. We should speak well of him. Our songs and our prayers and the way that we live should reflect thankfulness for the goodness of the Lord. He is worthy. He's promised he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And that we can never be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, let's transition to some thoughts about our mothers. And I want to take you to an amazing verse. We'll put it up on the screen. It's Isaiah 66 and verse 13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Here the Lord spoke to Israel through his prophet, and he used a figure of speech to help his people understand the comfort that he has promised to provide. And notice how the verse begins with a simile, as, and that tells us that a comparison is intended. The Lord compares something common, something familiar, the comfort of a mother, to something less familiar, the comfort of God. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. You know, look at the tenderness of a mother with her child. And God says, you'll see there how I will comfort you. No one ever needed motherly comfort more than God's own people. After the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem 3 times, there wasn't much left of their glorious capital city. And because the Jews kept turning their backs on God to worship heathen idols, they were carried off to a foreign land. And there in Babylon, I think it's nearly 800 miles from Jerusalem, they would spend 70 years in captivity. And when it dawned on them that this was no brief, temporary exile from their homeland, their pride and their arrogance turned to grief and despair. Because the fact of the matter is, most of them would never return to Jerusalem. This captivity was a life sentence for all but the youngest, the very youngest of them. In this hour of crisis, God knew his people would need his comfort more than anything else. And so the Lord spoke through Isaiah long before the captivity ever took place. Now, this is also why the second half of Ezekiel's book was written. God's people needed comfort and assurance. And no one is more qualified to give the comfort they needed than God himself. No one can comfort the brokenhearted the way God can. But Isaiah 66:13 is a very unusual verse. I mean, there are many Bible verses that urge people of faith to walk in step with God and to be like him. He is the shepherd, we are the sheep. He is the leader, we are his followers. His righteousness, his holiness are the standard that we should rise to. That's all through the New Testament. Jesus is held high as the model, as the pattern for us to emulate. And the goal of our faith, the objective of our faith is to become like Christ because he is the measure of everything. But here we find something unusual. Here, the Lord finds a human attribute that is worthy to be compared to one of his divine perfections. In fact, This is especially unusual in light of what we read in Isaiah 40 and verse 18, which asks the rhetorical question, to whom then will you compare God? The answer comes back, no one. The Lord is in a category by himself. There is no angel in heaven. There's no human being on earth that is his equal. And so broadly speaking, no human being could ever adequately compare to God. But here, in this unusual statement, with regard to this one special quality, God finds a human attribute that is comparable to his own. Because here the Lord says, the way a mother comforts her child is like the way he will comfort his people. How does a mother comfort her child? Let me suggest a few ways. First of all, she comforts her child immediately. She recognizes her child's cry, and she even knows what kind of cry it is. Am I right about that? Her response is typically immediate. Do you remember those insincere conversations that took place in the master bedroom when the baby cries to be fed in the wee hours of the morning? You know, sensing no movement, and after pretending to be asleep, the exhausted young father whispers to his bedraggled wife, "Honey, should I get the baby or should you?" He knows the answer, he wouldn't ask. He doesn't have the equipment. He then may say something foolish, you know, like this. If she doesn't get up immediately, he oftentimes will put his foot in his mouth and say, "You know, a few tears never hurt anybody. Let the baby cry a little. I mean, the child will be hard to live with if we jump every time we hear a few whimpers." Well, you know that doesn't float with Mom. And you just have to forgive him because he's just being a man. While dads may hesitate, every instinct in a mother urges her to respond quickly, if not immediately. And in the same way, God responds to his children. And the Bible says he responds even before they cry out. Isaiah 65, 24 says, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." I love that verse. Now, for a moment, let's just return to the backstory of Isaiah 66. God knew that Israel would sin and that they would be carried off into captivity, and so he promised that he would be available to comfort them when it happened. Isaiah 49, 14 to 16 says this, "But Zion," which is another name for the Jews in Jerusalem, "but Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me.'" This is what they're going to say in captivity. The Lord knew that. And then he says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." You know, the second way a mother comforts her child is compassionately. The comfort that she offers isn't motivated by duty or obligation, but from a compassion the Lord hardwired into her. I can remember, I was a freshman or sophomore in high school, I think, and a group of us went sledding, and we had a great hill, but it went down through trees, you know, it was just a path that went down this steep hill. And the trees were quite large. We made a train, like all of you have no doubt done at one time or another. And I was the lead engine, I guess, in the train. And when you have five or six sleds behind you, you're all hooked together, your steering in the front is minimal. And what happened was that we plowed headlong into a tree. I was unconscious. I guess my friends carried me partway home before I came to. They thought I was dead, you know. I had sprained muscles, I think, in my shoulder. I didn't break anything, but I was just in terrific pain. And I remember, I distinctly remember you know, falling asleep with an ice pack and my mother stroking my head. I remember that. I remember how she was at our bedside when we had mumps and measles and, you know, itching all over the place. And she was there and ministering tenderly to our needs. I saw her extend that same tender care to each of her 8 children. Yeah, 8 of us. Isn't it true? There's no one quite like Mom. There's no one quite like Mom. No one else's kiss can dispel those tears more quickly. No one's smile, no one's hug can take away the sting of a problem better than she can. You know, no one can put on that Band-Aid just the way she can. And no one can minister comfort like her. Well, the third way a mother comforts her child is sacrificially. You know, it costs her a great deal to meet the needs of her husband and her children. Motherhood is a commitment to joyful, lifelong servitude. You heard me right. To be a mother of one or more children is to be their servant. It's to be their slave, their chauffeur, their lunchmaker, their housekeeper, their resident counselor. And the list goes on and on. Motherhood is permanent. It's a lifelong calling. Like Jesus, who shunned reputation and assumed a servant's role, she takes a lower place to fulfill what I see in God's sight as the highest calling. If any of you listened to Family Life Radio last week, Focus on the Family had a Christian comedian, Sally Bauke. Anybody hear that? Oh, that's worth hearing. You can go on Dr. Dobson's website and hear it. But she says the acrostic for mothers, M-O-T-H-E-R-S, is making others' time here on earth really special. That's her calling. And that's how she rolls, you know. She takes great delight sacrificing to make us feel special, feel loved. Discretionary funds that she might spend on herself instead are spent on gifts and streamers and party hats and candy favors and cakes, you know. Her comfort is often ministered through the many quiet and generous ways that she serves us. Then finally, she comforts her child continually. Her task is never done. You know what Dad does? He rips off 8 reasons why the coach is stupid. You should have made the team. Mom doesn't do that. She just quietly hugs you and says, "It'll be okay. You know, it'll be okay." Which feels better? Dad or Mom's comfort? She's the one who comforts that son or daughter who suffered their first breakup. And you know, her task isn't finished even when her child graduates from college. That is a great myth, isn't it? That your parenting is over when that car pulls out of the driveway and they're headed off to college. Huh? It's only just begun. Got news for you. Her ministry of comfort continues by way of telephone and snail mail and social media. And the highlight of her career may not come until her children are out of the nest and look back on her example with newfound appreciation. Do you know what the comparison of Isaiah 66:13 suggests? It suggests that something divine is built into the fiber of who a mother is and what she does. In her heart, she has deep longings for her children, longings she routinely responds to. You know, in God's sight, what she does is worthy to be compared with what God feels and what God does. She comforts her child. It's built into her to do so. And just like the Lord, she comes alongside, she comes near, she knows her baby's cry, she speaks her toddler's language, whatever language that is. She knows what each teenage outburst means. And within the limits of her humanity, she seeks to be an ever-present help in trouble. She soothes, consoles, she cheers, She strengthens, makes comfortable, gives aid, and she is a constant source of encouragement. In short, she does what God does. She does God work. From early in the morning until early in the morning, she is there to offer us comfort. Now, as we finish, let me tie things together. The ministry of comfort belongs to God in a unique and ultimate sense. And if you're bumping your way through life without him, you're the loser. Because there's one who has infinite wisdom, who wants to direct your path, and he wants to offer comfort when you run into that wall. He wants to help you. He wants to love you. He wants to offer a better life. Jesus said, I have come that they might have what? Life, and that they might have it to the full. To the full. And so this ministry of comfort belongs to God in a unique and ultimate sense. He is our refuge. He is our comforter. He's the lover of our souls. He alone offers eternal consolation and permanent hope through faith in Christ. Psalm 27 begins this way, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The psalmist declares that the Lord is the ultimate source of protection and comfort. And I trust you've come to him for salvation. He longs to forgive you. He longs to cleanse you. He longs to be your source of comfort, both now and for all eternity. Dr. Dobson wrote, the Lord, mothers would quite literally lay down their lives to protect the kids entrusted to their care. Mothers would quite literally lay down their lives to protect the kids entrusted to their care. That's what Christ did for us. That's exactly what he did for us. He sacrificed his own life to keep us from the punishment that we deserve because of our sin. He's the Father of compassion. He's the God of all comfort. And listen, I know that Mother's Day isn't the happiest of days for everyone. But Psalm 27:10 says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." And for his wonderful ministry of comfort, the Lord is worthy to be praised. But by God's own authorization, there's someone whose ministry of comfort is a worthy comparison to his own, and that's our mother. That's our mother. She too is worthy of praise. Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her." And so that's what we do on this special day, mothers. We honor you. We love you for so many reasons. But in a special way this morning, we honor you for the comforter that you have been to us all the days of our lives. And so we say to you, Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this special day to honor our mothers. You've commanded us to honor our mothers and our fathers, to bless them. And Father, we want to obey you in that, but not just out of a sense of duty, but out of a sense of reasonableness. This is our reasonable response for the comfort that we've received from our moms, how they were there for us to encourage us, to comfort us, to console us. And so we pray that you would help us to respond to her in a way that is appropriate, a way that's fitting. We thank you, Father, for the tangible way that she shows us your comfort. And we're thankful that this ultimate comfort that we all need is available by trusting you. And so if there's one here this morning who's not trusted Jesus, I pray that by your Spirit you would convince them that he's what they need more than anything, that they need his forgiveness, they need his encouragement, his love, his wisdom. And all of these things are available if we'll simply trust him, take him by faith as our Savior and as our Lord. So help that one that may be without you today to make that decision and to trust the Lord Jesus. And again, we give you thanks for the comfort that you've shown us time and time and time again. Thank you for being the one who never leaves and never forsakes us. Help us to love you and praise you because you're worthy. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.